Parshas Kisisa opens up with the din of Matzas HaShekel. If you're taking a census of the people for the purpose of seeing how many men you have in the army, you only draft people from the age of 20 and above. And so they draft people from younger than 20. The Pashtus says that it's a din l'doros. You're not supposed to draft people before the age of 20. But then there's a din, that's a hirah, sure, but then there's a din l'doros of Machtus HaShekel. The korbanos tzibur have to be paid for with the Machtus HaShekel money. And if, let's say, a private person is obligated to bring a korban, he took a neder to bring an oil or shlamim, or he's mechiv to bring, he was mechal Shabbos b'shoigig, and he has to bring a chatos, and he can't afford it. But let's say if a neighbor of his knows that his next-door neighbor has to bring a korban, and he wants to do him a favor, so he can give the money to the gizbo shel hegdish and say they should bring the korban on his behalf. And they'll send the next-door neighbor a letter, korban has been brought on your behalf. They don't have to tell him who paid for it. There is a din of Magdish HaManashi's Kappa Bochaveira. The Gemara learns that from a pasuk in Maseches Noza. There is such an institution. I can be Magdish a korban on behalf of someone else. The other person should be the Bala korban. The other person should get the Kapora. So that during the period of the Bais Sheni, there was a period of time that the Beis HaMikdash was run by the Tzedukim, and the Tzedukim didn't follow Torah Shebaal Peh. They made up their own Torah Shebaal Peh. So they would permit... They would permit private family to donate $5 million for the course of the year to cover all the korbanos tzibur, just like you have in korban yochel, magdash al menashe is kapa b'chaver korban tzibur also. So the halacha says that's not acceptable. You're not yotze the tmidim u'mesofim if it's paid for by a private person. It has to be paid for by the machtza shekel money. So that's a question. Machtza shekel drifting into the armies from the age of 20 and up, and that is mishon of amala. What about Machtzis HaShekel for the purpose as Korbanos Tzibur? So many disagree. It's a machlokes. Some say that you need 20 years. Younger than 20, you're not mechuyev. And others disagree. They say, no, from the age of Bar Mitzvah and up, you're mechuyev to give Machtzis HaShekel. Whoever is Bar Mitzvah is mechuyev. 20 years old is only for drafting in the army. So there's a collection. Some character published a collection of tshuvas, which he claimed were a manuscript by the Rosh, and he gave it a name, Besamim Rosh. And then he printed his comments on the footnotes on the bottom of the page. He called them Kasa Daharsan. So as it turned out, after a while, they came to the realization that it was a forgery. The Rosh didn't write these tshuvas. Has apikursis there, has wild things. Doesn't correspond to anything normal that the Rosh would have said. How come he has a haskama from the Nadi Behuda? Nadi Behuda knew the father. So Nadi Behuda assumed that the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. So he thought the son is an honest guy. Didn't realize the son is a meshugan, a crazy crackpot. So they have this book. I think it has a haskama from the Nadi Behuda. The Samim Rosh, the Chasam Sofer, in one of his letters in the Tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer, he refers to it as the Kizvei HaRosh, the forgery. That a kizvei harosh, but a tough kizvei harosh, cause of the sheker. Anyway, so this character in his footnotes writes there a suggestion that he was way before the Mishnah Berurah, but the Mishnah Berurah paskens like the Tzlach. The Tzlach was written by the Nadi Behuda on brachas and on beitzah. So the Tzlach writes a Chiddush, and the Mishnah Berurah passes like that, that women are mechuyev to daven, they're not mechuyev to daven musaf. Why not? Because since women were not obligated to give machtza shekel, so therefore they're not mechuyev to chip in, to pay for the korbanos tzibur. When the korbanos tzibur are korev every day, the tmidim and musafim, it's the kapora is chal for the whole klal Yisrael, including the women as well. But the women are not mechuyev to chip in. So since the women are not mechuyev to chip in, so the Mishnah Berurah pasuk is like this, a big chiddush. It's like women are not mechuyev to daven musaf. Women are mechuyev to daven shachris mincha ma'ariv, simple, pipashtus, to daven shmones, who shachris mincha ma'ariv. The Gemara says, aye, but it's a mitzvah sese, shaz man groma, this is so man shachris, and it's so there's man mesuyam. Should be a mitzvah sese, man groma. So the Gemara says, but tefillah rachmeinu, since it's bakoshas tzarachim, so the women need the bakoshas tzarachim also, so they were mesakenet l'chatchila that women are mechuyim. But Musaf, Tosha says, is only keneged hakorban, it's a neshama form, so seinu. Tosha says the Musaf is not rachme. So that's a chiddush in the tzlach, and Mishnah Berurah paskens like that. It's a little surprising that the women, a lot of the women come to shul late on Shabbos. They come in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah. So they listen to Kriyas HaTorah, then they daven Musaf. They don't daven Shachris. So more correct would have been that they should daven Shachris when everybody's davening Musaf. They should daven Shachris. They daven Shachris and Musaf, that's beautiful. Okay, but if they're only going to daven one or the other, so more correct is that they should daven Shachris, because the Mishnah Berurah paskens like that slach, that women are potter from Musa, because they're not mechuyev to give machzah shekel. So this forger, the one who put out the besamim rosh, the supposed tshuvas harosh, has in his footnotes the kasa deharsana that according to those who hold that younger than 20 are not mechuyev to give machzah shekel, din ledoris a machzah shekel. So younger than 20 should also not be mechuyev to daven musaf. So you can't be the Baal Tefila to daven farnamin. Mishenim mechuyev b'davar emotzei rab min deichai vosom. The whole motivation of the takona of chazoros hashatz is that the shat should be motzei the ein abaki. But there are going to be bekim who are over 20, and this guy is younger than 20, so he can't be the Baal Tefila. Unless the whole minyan consists of people younger than 20. Okay, so they're all in the same boat. They're all the same. But if the Baal Tefila is younger than 20 and its people in the shul are older than 20, so then the Besamim Rosh has this chiddush. If I'm not mistaken, I think Torat Mima probably quotes this, the Besamim Rosh. When he wrote his comments, it wasn't yet mefursam that the whole book was a forgery. Rabbi Kiveger, every so often, will quote, he didn't realize either that it's a forgery. Rabbi Kiveger will quote with respect the Besamim Rosh and the Kasa Darsana. Later it became obvious that the whole thing was a forgery. And Rabbi Kiveger was only a year older than his son-in-law, the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer had three wives, one after the other. After the first wife died, he married the second wife. After she died, he married the third. He didn't marry two wives at the same time. That's a chemda, Rabbi Gersh. So the second wife of the Chassam Sofer was the daughter of Rabbi Kiveger. Rabbi Kiveger, his father-in-law, was only 1 year older than him, and he died a year before him. They lived to the same age. It wasn't so ripe old age. I don't think they lived to 80. and the father-in-law was 1 year older than the son-in-law. That was the second marriage. They said that Rabbi Kiveger was such a holy tzaddik. He once, maybe it's above him, I said, they say he once came to visit the Chassam Sofer after his daughter passed away already. He was married to the third wife, but they never told him that the daughter passed away. So he didn't look at women, so he didn't realize that it wasn't his daughter. He was eating by his son-in-law, and he thought that the third wife was his daughter. Probably a baba mice. Anyway, so the parsha begins with the din of machzah hashekel. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out there was a major difference between the role of Moshe Rabbeinu by the Luchas Rishonis as opposed to the Luchas Shnias. The Luchas Rishonis, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't bring any material from earth up the top of Har Sinai. So what were the Aseres Adibas engraved on? So the Chumash says, V'aluchas ma'aseh l'kim heima v'amichta michtav l'kimu. Michtav l'kim means HaKadosh Baruch Hu engraved it. And the material on which it was engraved was ma'aseh l'kim. It was heavenly material. It wasn't from the Olam Hazeh. But then Moshe Rabbeinu smashed the luchas because he saw everybody was dancing around the ego. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you ruined my luchas. P'sol luchas ne luchas avonim karishonim. I want you to carve out the same size as the first one. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to carry the Lucha Shnias, the raw material from, it was from Olam Hazeh, regular material from this world, and he took it on top of the mountain. V'chasavti al halochos es hadvarim shehoyu, etc. HaKadosh Baruch Hu engraved it. The ksav was ksav HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the material that it was engraved on was brought from Olam Hazeh on top of the mountain. So Rabbi Soloveitchik pointed out, he thought based on Midrashim, that the first time around Moshe Rabbeinu was the Mishnah has in Gittin and Kiddushin, the Chosin can make a shliach lahilocha sa Kiddushin. The Kiddushin is only chal when you deliver the ring to the girl, and you can the Kala can make a shliach the Kabbalah sa Kiddushin, just like by Get. The Chosin can make a shliach lahilocha sa Get. The Get will be chal when the shliach delivers the get to the isha, and then the isha can make a shliach lekabolas haget, so the get will be chal the minute the husband gives the get to the shliach or isha. So here also, Rav Soloveitchik thought based on Midrashim that there was a fundamental difference. The luchas rishonis, both the material, luchas ma'isa lekim heima, it was heavenly material, amichta michta lekim hu, everything was min hashamayim. Moshe Rabbeinu was the shliach lohilocha to deliver the kesef kiddushin. The relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Esau is described in Shir HaShirim in different places in the Tanakh, like that of a marriage. So we assume that it was like the kesef kiddushin was the luchas. So when Moshe Rabbeinu sees everybody dancing around the ego, he didn't want, Rashi quotes from the Medrash, he didn't want them to be punished like an esh esish shezinso. So he smashed the luchas, he never delivered it. He never delivered it, so the kiddushin never got off the ground because it was a shlech lo'elocha. But the second time around, it's like Moshe Rabbeinu brought the material to the top of Har Sinai from this world. Then HaKadosh Baruch engraved it. So Moshe Rabbeinu was a shlech lekabolas ha-kiddushin. When the Rabbeinu Shlomo engraved it, the kiddushin was chal already. So the second time around wouldn't even help if Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't deliver it. He would smash the luchas shnias. It wouldn't accomplish anything because the Kedusha Maschal, the minute HaKadosh Baruch Hu engraved the Osias on the Lucha Shnias. He said, Rav Soloveitchik, I remember when he said this once in Shia, he said, this is Halacha, this is not Drush. He thought that he had Midrashim that bring this idea out. The Gemara in the middle of Gittin comments on the Pasuk in Shvi. That's the first pasuk in Shvi. So the Gemara understands the word Hadvarim Ha'ela is a mir, these things and only these things. And you have Ksav L'chos Hadvarim Ha'ela, there's Torah Shebichzav. And Alpi means Torah Shebalpeh. So how do you read the pasuk? I want you to write only Torah Shebichzav, Ksav L'chos Hadvarim Ha'ela. Only Dvarim Shebichzav, Torah Shebalpeh should not be written down. For so many years, they didn't write down the Mishnayos. Even after Rebbe edited the Mishnayos, he just determined what they should recite, Balpeh, what not, but it still wasn't written down until the days of Ravina or Ravashi. That's how most of the Achrayim assume, and that's how most of the historians assume, that the Torah, the Mishnayos, was not written down until later. And then the Ravina or Ravashi were the ones who Masada the Talmud Bavli, that wasn't written down till way later, I think centuries later, in the days of the Goinim. They have the correspondence of the Goinim where they had a big machlokes, should they permit the writing down of the Gemara. The mazel is that they wrote it down. If they wouldn't write it down, how would it be possible to remember everything Balpeh? By the time it was written down, they read different versions, but the Rava said it, the Abaye said it, the Rabina said it, Ravashi. What do you mean? You're not sure the Rabina Ravashi, they're the ones who wrote it down. The end said they didn't write it down. The Masada, the Talmud Bavli, was still being recited Balpeh, still deep into the days of the Goinim. So the Gemara understands that the Torah Shebalpeh only came into existence after the Chet HaEgel. So the Beis HaLevi has a long essay. Beis HaLevi, Shadus HaTshuva's Beis HaLevi is Barab Yosef Dov HaLevi Soloveitchik. That was the father of Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. The Ragachova didn't hold Rav Chaim Soloveitchik in such high regard. As children, they used to learn together. So he didn't hold him. So he used to refer to him as the Briska Rav's son. His father knew how to learn. The Beis HaLevi knew how to learn. He was the Briska Rav's son. Shtick. So the Beis HaLevi has three volumes of tshuvas. So at the end of Chelek Aleph, he has a few tshuvas by Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He was a descendant. That was the big yichus in Lithuania, Beis HaRav, those who were descendants of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. For some reason or another, Rav Chaim Volozhiner was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon, so one would have thought those who are descendants of the Vilna Gaon would be the big yachsonim. But that wasn't the case. Those who are descendants of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that's called the Beis HaRav. Why? Why is that? So the Hasidim claim, because when the Vilna Gaon made the cherem against the Hasidim, they say Rav Chaim Volozhiner refused to sign it. He didn't want to sign. So the Chassidim claim that's why the big yichus is those who are descendants from Rav Chaim Volozhiner, because he refused to sign the cherem. There used to be a fellow, Yossi Buchsbaum, He used to be the head of Machon Yerushalayim. He was the founder of Machon Yerushalayim. And he used to collect the Kisveyad. He was very strong in history. He used to read all the Hakdamas to all the Svarim. So he knew all the history, who was a Talmud, who was a cousin, who was an uncle, and so on. So he made a comment, this story doesn't make sense, that Rav Chaim Volozhin didn't want to sign the Cherem. He says he knows the handwriting of Rav Chaim Volozhin. The Cherem was written in Rav Chaim Volozhin's handwriting. What do you mean he did not sign it? He's the one who wrote the Cherem. He doesn't understand what that story means. Anyway, but that's what the Hasidim claim, that the reason why the big Yichus in Lithuania was the Beis HaRav, the Soloveitchiks are all descendants from the Beis HaRav, from Rav Chaim Volozhin. So in the end of Chelek Galaf of the Beis HaLevi, you have a few tshuvas by Rav Chaim Volozhin that don't appear in the Chutam Shulosh. Chutam Shulosh is a collection of tshuvas by the three Rashi Yeshiva and Volozhin. The first third of the Sefer is tshuvas by Rav Chaim Volozhin. That's what people read. And then they have two sons-in-law of Rav Chaim Volozhin who also gave shurim in Volozhin, Rav Leizer Itche, Rav Leizer Yitzchak, they used to call him Rav Leizer Itche, and Rav Hillel. They were sons-in-law of Rav Chaim Volozhin. So I don't know how many people read those Jews, but the Jews by Rav Chaim Volozhin that people read. And the end of Chelek Aleph of Beis HaLevi, he has, I think, three more Jews by Rav Chaim Volozhin. And then at the end of Chelek Beis of the Beis HaLevi, Chelek Beis starts off on Yerideya. The beginning has Heoris on Yerideya, and Chelek Gimel starts off on Shmita with the tshuvas why he's unhappy with the Et Mechira. So at the end of Chelek Beis, he has around 16 long drushes, much of which appears in his Sefer Chumash and Bereshis and Shmos, little parts. And the long drushes he has, each drush goes for a few pages long, with a lot of things tied up together. And a Chumash he has, on one pasuk, he'll have one or two paragraphs from a long drush. So one of the long drushes, not so long, one of the long drushes is about this topic of Torah Sheba'al Peh, that he quotes passages from the Zohar, and the Gemara is also a little bit mainly from the Zohar, Midrashim, that the original plan was that there wasn't going to be any Torah Sheba'al Peh. It was just going to be a Torah Shebichsav. It's going to be the Luchas, and when you would look on the Luchas, you would find all the answers. Not only did it appear on the Luchas, the Aseres HaDibros, Kol HaTorah Kula appeared on the Luchas. But the Luchas Shnius only had the Aseres HaDibros. I bet it says in the Chumash, Psal Luchas and Luchas HaRuchas Saptel HaLuchas HaDvarim Shehayu, it's going to have the same text. Luchas Shnius, same text of Luchas Vishayin. So the Beis HaLevi says, no. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai, so he saw the Jewish people dancing around the Egel, so the Medrash says, the oisius, the extra oisius on the luchas, but parchas bavir, they flew away by themselves, and it was only left with the aseres hadibras on the luchas. So there was so much more carved out, so it was very light. The more you carve out, so the less heavy material there is in the luchas. So according to one medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu dropped the luchas. It was so heavy, he dropped it. We usually assume that he smashed the luchas on purpose. So the Beis HaLevi and the Sefer HaChumash write, that's a machlokes hatanoim. He said, just like you have machlokes tanoim and halacha, and major halachas, Hilchas Shabbos, Hilchas Kasher, and Taras HaMishpach, you have major. So you have machlokes in Hashkofa also. I don't understand the stories in the Chumash. So he said, this is a machlokes. So some tanoim were of the opinion that because the extra psukim, the extra words that were carved out on the Luchas Rishonis flew away in the air. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down, he saw them dancing around the eagle. So the Luchas became so heavy, so it was so heavy, so he dropped it. And then at the time that he dropped the Luchas, it only had the Aseres HaDibros on it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, "So Luchos Shnei Luchos Avarim Karishanim B'chasati LaHalachos Asad Dvarim Asher Hayu." At the time that you broke it, either the time you dropped it, the time you smashed it, whatever it was, at the time that he smashed it or he dropped it, it only had the Aseres HaDibros. That's why the Luchas Shnius only had Aseres HaDibros, but the Luchas Rishonis had Kol HaTorah Kula written. That's what he says, based mainly on Zohars, but he has a Gemara, a couple of Gemaras also like that. So the original plan was that there isn't going to be any need for any Torah Shabbat. Everything going to be on the Luchas, and you'll figure out all the answers by reading everything there. And then after the Chet HaEgel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Goizer Tosfos in Gittin on Daf Nun Tes, quotes this Medrash. Kadosh Baruch Hu was geyser because of the Chet Ha'egel that the Jewish people should be punished. They should be tachashlitas umas ha'olam. If the Jews would have not sinned with the Chet Ha'egel, we would have never been under shlitas ha'umas. The umas wouldn't be able to torture the Jewish people at all. But because of the Chet Ha'egel, that's why over the generations, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished the Jewish people for it says after the Chet Ha'egel, so Rashi quotes from the Medrash, overall, the punishment with the Chet Ha'egel didn't come completely right after the Chet Ha'egel. Over the generations, the Shoah was also part of that punishment with the Chet Ha'egel. We don't have to look to see what averis did they do in the generation of the Shoah. The Satmar Rebbe wrote his famous essays that the Shoah was a punishment because of Zionism. That's the biggest avera from all the 613 mitzvahs. The biggest avera of all is Zionism. Come on. Utterly ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous. So he quotes so many things, a total distortion of everything. Unbelievable. He was a big Talmid Chacham. He knows so many sources, but everything he says is against the tradition was always not so. He says, you're not allowed to move to Eretz Yisrael. What do you mean, not allowed to move? The Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov lived at the same time. They both encouraged their followers to move to Eretz Yisrael to hasten the coming of Mashiach. In the early 1800s, that's where Talmid HaGrom moved and Talmid HaBaal Shem Tov moved. So what the Satmar Rebbe said is against the tradition from the days of the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov. Everybody said like that. Everything he says is totally against everything. The Zionists were apikursim, we know that. So therefore, Zionism is apikursis. The apikursim, they wanted to establish a Medina, they said, to replace the religion. So that's apikursis. They were apikursim. But therefore, Zionism becomes apikursis. Zionism is one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. And even if you don't hold like the Ramban, the Ramban also agrees it's a mitzvah, it's an Inyan men haTorah to move to Eretz or to live in Eretz. The whole theme of the Kuzari is like that. Everything that Satmar Rebbe said against all the Rishonim, against all the Achrayim, I don't know how they accept it. I don't know how any Satmar Chassidim accepted it. He got it probably from the Munkacha. The Munkacha was always screaming and cursing against everybody about Zionism. The biggest are there from all the 613 mitzvahs, and the biggest are there is Zionism. Utterly ridiculous. The Apikursim were Apikursim. The Zionists were Apikursim. Okay. But religious Zionism is also Apikursis. Anyway, so the Shoah was a punishment for the Jewish people, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they did an Aver in that generation. You have to look in that generation. Rashi HaChumash writes, Rashi was not an Apikur, Rashi is Rabbi Yompok, the Hippokarti. Rashi is quoting from the Tanoim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will mete out punishment throughout all the generations. Any suffering that the Jewish people suffer anywhere in the world is all a hemshach of the punishment. I remember once Rabbi Fabian Schoenfeld, Zechanel Bruch, just passed away about a year ago. He had a lot of, in his shul, in Queens, he had a lot of survivors from the war. So he felt that he had to have an observance every year in the Yom HaShoah. Many Rabbanim were not happy with the Yom HaShoah because it was established by the Knesset. They established the Yom HaShoah on the day that the Warsaw Ghetto was destroyed by the Nazis when they killed everybody. And a week, and as if the Jewish people sit Shiva, and then after the week comes Yom HaTzmaut. So that's how they set it up in Lechatchila. So it's not right to observe Tonis in Chodesh Nissen. You want to observe Avelus, so you observe it some other time. That's why many Rabbanim were upset. The Knesset were all anti-religious. They didn't care about Chodesh Nissen. The main thing by them was after the Shiva is up, you have the Hakamas Amdina, and that takes the place, that replaces everything. The secular Jews, the anti-religious Jews, their idea in the founding of the Medina was to replace the religion. So many were opposed to the Yom HaShoah. But Rabbi Schoenfeld, he had a lot of survivors in his shul. So he had no choice. He had to have an observance on Yom HaShoah. So every year they would have, they would ask another rabbi to speak. And then they would show a movie. I remember one year he asked me to speak, so he showed the movie, The Long Way Home. It's a documentary to explain why did it take so long after the Second World War was over and the Jews were sitting in concentration camps. DP camps. When it was under the Nazis, it was called the concentration camp. They were killing them, they were torturing them, and so on. They were making them do slave labor. And after the war was all over, the Nazis lost. So how come it took so long till they moved Eretz Yisrael? So they have a whole documentary, a long, fascinating movie, a documentary, the British wouldn't let them in. So till after Hakamas HaMedina, when it was a Jewish Medina, so they let everybody in. So it's a very fascinating movie. So I remember he asked me to speak one year. So I don't know, what do you say about the Shoah? So I said that we don't have to look for what averis were violated in that generation. Rashi says everything is a punishment for the Cheta Ego. So there was one of the listeners in the audience was a survivor of the war, and he loved me very much. He never had any children. He adopted a daughter, and it didn't work out. He had aggravation from the daughter. And he was a big time Torah. He came to America penniless, and he worked his way up. And he used to come to my shiur. He gave a weekly shiur in Queens for many years. He came for over 10 years, and he was a big moiker rabbanis mechaber talmid chachamim. So he came to me afterwards, and he was crying, and he said to me with anger, "Rabbi Shechter, you have no right to say that. Even if we all worship the Egel, we didn't deserve the torture that they gave us." He's probably right. The Nazis tortured them so much. We don't understand the Shoah. Anyway, so the Beis HaLevi has this long drasha, long maimer, where he shows that the Torah Shabbat Peh only came into existence after the Chet HaEgel. Before the Chet HaEgel, the plan was going to be that the Jewish people will never be tachas shlita sumas ha'olam. Really, am anivchar. The goyim will never have any shlita over the Jews. But after the Chet HaEgel, is nigzar, as part of the punishment over the generation, part of the punishment will be that the umas olam have shlita over the Jews. So the Medrash says, commenting on the pasuk in Navi, echta v'larube tarose halok mozar nechshavu. That's a pasuk in Navi. So the Gemara in Gittin quotes it. The Gemara has a machlekes Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Loza. Rabbi Loza was a talmid of Rabbi Yechanan. Whether Rav Torah is b'chzav or Rav Torah is b'alpeh, every so often we talk about that. I mentioned that the Prima Godim has his Psicha Kalelis to Orachaim. It's not really an introduction. The Orachaim is really an introduction to all of Torah Shabbat Peh. So he starts off at that Machlekes in Gittan, the afternoon test, where the Rav Machlekes of Yechon Rav Loza, where the Rav Torah is Bichzab, or Rav Torah is Baal Peh. So the Gemara quotes this Pasuk, Echta la Ruba Torasi, if I'll write down the Rav of the Torah, be Bichzab, then the Jewish people will be outsiders. Aloka Mazar Nechshava. What does that mean? So Tosis quotes the Medrash. Tosis there in the Gittin, Afnon Tes, quotes the Medrash on that Pasuk in Kisisa, that the Umas HaOlam will have shlita over the Jewish people, and they will claim that they are the Am HaNivchar. That's what the Catholic Church claimed for many generations. And in recent years, when the Zionist movement began, over 100 years ago, so the Catholic Church had a response to the Zionist movement. Their response was, there used to be a Rebbe here in the high school, his name was Meir Simcha Feldblum. He passed away a long time ago. So his wife, his first wife was run over. There never used to be a traffic light in front of the old building here on Amsterdam Avenue. So it used to be dangerous to cross the street. There was no traffic light. So she was run over by a car. She lost her life. She was run over. She lived right across the street from the yeshiva. So after she was killed, they finally put in a traffic light in front of the old building where the high school meets. So her father was a prominent rabbi in Philadelphia. She had a doctorate, and her doctoral dissertation was on this topic. She wrote a book. It was printed later. What was the Catholic response to the Zionist movement? She collected from all the newspapers, from French and Italian and Spanish and English, they all said Pecha, the same thing. All the Catholic newspapers all over the world, they all said the same thing. Eretz Yisrael is the Eretz HaNevcheres for the Am HaNivchar. The Jews used to be the Am HaNivchar, but then when they rejected Jesus, they lost their status of the Am HaNivchar, and they are now the Am HaNivchar. The Catholics accepted Yoshke, they are the Am HaNivchar. Usually, you're not allowed to say Shema. It says in Parshas Mishpatim, Mishmos Alei Machem Lo Yisaskiru, Laisham al pichay, not allowed to say the name of an Avodah Zarah. So the Rishonim say that Jesus was not his name as an Avodah Zarah. The second name, that's the name Avodah Zarah. But the first name Jesus, that's by the Bris, they gave him a name, Yoshka. So that name you're allowed to say. But the second name you're not supposed to say. So the so that's what they wrote all over the world, that the Jews lost their status as the Aman Ifcha, and they're never going to get, it's never going to happen. The Jews will never balabata over Eretz Yisrael. So after enough years in 1948, they had Hakamas HaMedina. So according to the theology of the Catholic, that's impossible. The Jews lost their status as the Aman Ifcha. How can it be that they're balabataming over Eretz Yisrael? They were printing for years, not going to happen. So they didn't recognize the Medina for many years until Rabbi Lau was the chief rabbi, and he was in the same concentration camp as the Pope. They had non-Jews in the concentration camp also. The Pope was not Jewish. So he knew the Pope from years before when they were children. He was a child. He was a young child in the concentration camp. So he went to visit the Vatican. They arranged a meeting. And then after they made a negotiation, then the Vatican recognized the Medina with certain conditions. But for many years, they didn't recognize the Medina. So they were hoping and praying to their Avodah Zarah that the Medina would disappear, but it didn't disappear. So they had a farem for something. So the original Teretz was, the Jews only have the modern Israel, they don't have the real Eretz Yisrael. They don't have the Makom HaMikdash, they'll never get, they don't have the Eretz Atika, they don't have Hebron, where the others live. That's their theology. We are no longer the Aman Ifchar because we didn't accept Yoshke, and therefore we're never going to get the real Eretz. So after Mohammed Sheish Tayamim, they got everything back. In fact, if you read Rabbi Gorin's autobiography, he was such a funny character. Rabbi Gorin, he was such a character. He took over Hebron, one man. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. He was the chief chaplain in the army. So when they were fighting the Mohammed Sheshet Hayamim, they told him that tomorrow morning we're going to take over Hebron. So he said, wake me up in the morning, I want to be there when you take over Hebron. So he didn't wake him up. And there was nobody there in the army base. So he was furious. He writes himself, but the people who know him was furious. They went without me. They went, so they changed the plan in the middle of the night. And they didn't want to wake him up, they changed the plan. So he thought they went without him. So he got so angry, so he called his driver. We're going to Hebron. They drove into Hebron, one Jew, all by himself. And he goes to the Maris HaChpelah, he's banging on the door, open up the door! So he's banging on the door, so they opened up the door. Then he realized, there are no Jews there. There are no Jewish soldiers, he's all by himself. So he had a walkie-talkie. So he communicated with wherever the soldiers were. Save me! I'm in Hebron! They're going to slaughter him. They were so petrified because he drove into Hebron with chutzpah. He was always a character. Drove into Hebron and he banged on the door, let me in, and they opened up the door to the Maris HaChpelah. They took Yerushalayim, they lost a lot of Hebron. In the beginning, just one man took over the whole Hebron. Mechemet Sheshe HaTaymin was, but the whole Mechemet HaShechvor was with Nisim and Eflos. Hebron was with Nisim and Eflos. After they took over Hebron, after they took over the Eratika, so the whole jig was up. So well, what are the Catholics going to say? So the next day, you people weren't born yet. The next day, the Pope announced, we should internationalize Yerushalayim. Because it's against their theology. It can't be that the Jews are controlling Yerushalayim. Because they said it's never going to happen. Because we lost our status as the Aman Ifcha. And every year, for many years, I don't know if they still do, every single year, the Pope, that Pope and the Pope after him, a few Popes in a row, every year, once a year, the Pope would announce, We should make Yerushalayim an international city. All along that it was ruled by the Arabs and the British and the Turks. It didn't bother them that it wasn't international, but it was controlled by the Jews. That's against their animamen. That's against their theology. So that's why they insisted it should be made an international city. That's why Tzvi Yehuda Cook used to say, if it's Yehorek Bal Yavar, you're not allowed to give back. You're not allowed to give back the Makom HaMikdash to edit. You're not allowed to give it away. Why? Why is it Yehorek Bal Yavar? People said he's not Meshugana. Could be he wasn't Meshugana. But on this, not so Meshugana. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote the Chuvas HaRadaz, the Pischei Chuvah quotes Chuvas HaRadaz. If a guy holds a gun to you and he says, I'm going to kill you, let's eat the chazer. So Pikuach Nefesh is Doche and eat the chazer. But if the goy says, I'm going to shoot you, unless you eat the chazer, because you don't know and I know that since Yoshke came on the scene, the laws of kashrus no longer apply, then if you eat the chazer, it's not only an aver of eating chazer, you're demonstrating that you agree to what the goy said, that since Yoshke came on the scene, the laws of kashrus no longer apply. So that's your horeg v'yaver. So that's what Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook said. If the Jewish government will give away Yerushalayim, means they're giving in to the pressure of the Vatican. The Vatican holds that we're not entitled to Yerushalayim because we lost our status as the Amman Ifcha, because of their Avodah Zarah, because we didn't accept Yoshke as the Mashiach. So if they'll give away Yerushalayim, giving in to the pressure of the Vatican, that's Yehor Gval Yavar. That's not so crazy. Anyway, so that's what the Beis HaLevi has this long theme. That after the Chet HaEgel, there was a gzera that the Jewish people will be tachas shlita sumas oil, that will be part of the punishment for many years, part of the punishment. And the umas oil will have shlita over everything that it, over our bodies, over the have shlita. So they have shlita over the Torah also. So they'll claim that they are the Am HaNivchar. That's exactly what it says in the Medrash. That's what happened. Tanoi must have had Ruach HaKodesh. They said the umas oil will claim that they're the Am HaNivchar and they have the Torah as well. So that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam had to introduce a concept of Torah Shebal Peh. The Rosh Hashem Chagoy Mishpat Ma'idom goes on the Torah Shebal Peh. The Torah Shebichsav we share with the Umas Olam. When Yeshua Ben Nun crossed over the Yarden, he had to fulfill the din that was told to him by Moshe Rabbeinu, that they had a Hakim Rasav on him. V'sad Tos Masid V'chasav Talem Kol Dibat Torah Zos. They had to write Bar Heita B'Shivim Loshen. They had to write the whole Torah Shebichsav. Torah Shebichsav is open to the public. All the Umas Olam can read it. The din, Mishpat Ma'idom, Mishpat Ma'idom, goes on the Torah Shabbat Peh. You're not allowed to reveal Torah Shabbat Peh to the Umas HaOilom. And that's what is unique about the Jewish people. We have the Torah Shabbat Peh, which they don't have. So that's what the Gemara says, Lekoros HaKadosh Baruch Hu Brisim Yisrael, El Al Torah Shabbat Peh. That's how the Pasuk reads. Ksov L'chos HaDvarim HaEle, I want you to write down the Torah Shabbat only. Dvarim HaEle is a miut. Ki al pi hadvarim ha'ele, al pi means Torah Shabbat Peh, karati yit chabris mes Yisrael, lo karas ha'kodosh bo chabris im Yisrael, el al Torah Shabbat Peh. What singles out the Jewish people as a unique people, different from all the Yom HaSoilam, is that we were given the Torah Shabbat Peh, the Yom HaSoilam were only given the Torah Shabbat Chsav. How do you read the Pasuk, Sov l'chos hadvarim ha'ele, ki al pi hadvarim ha'ele, how do you translate ki? So the word ki, Rashi quotes from the Gemara beginning of Rosh Hashanah, ki mishamish bedalad Rosh Hashanah is the word ki. It has four different meanings, and some of the meanings are four different meanings. So the word ki often means because, and sometimes it means the opposite, despite the fact. So here, the Chazal understood, Tov l'chos l'advarim, I want you to write down the Torah Shebichsav, despite the fact, ki al pi hadvarim karati t'chibis v'sisot, despite the fact that the bris is only on the Torah Shebal Peh, that's unique to the Jewish people, but nonetheless, I still want you to write down the Torah Shebichsav. A lot of boys learn in the yeshiva, we learn Torah Shebal Peh, so they think, we only learn Torah Shebal Peh, not interested in learning Tanakh. No, you have to be Mavis Sedra every week, and we're supposed to learn the rest of the Kisvei HaKodesh, the 24 Svarim. Believe it or not, there's a mitzvah of Talmud Torah to learn Tanakh, not just to learn Gemara with Rab Chaim. Even if you learn without Rab Chaim, there's also Limud HaTorah. That's a big problem, and a lot of yeshivas, they're so brainwashed that you have to learn with Rab Chaim, with Rab Baruch Be, with Rab Naftali, and Rab Shimon, and all the Torahs, and when they leave the yeshiva, they go into the workforce, they can't keep that up. So they stop learning, period, because they feel that learning without Rab Chaim or learning without Rab Shim is not called learning. Learning Gemara Rashi is also learning. Learning Mishnais with the Bar Tanur is also gevaldig, even without the Tosfos Yod. Learning Gemara without Tosfos is also a value. Learning is learning. If you learn with Rab Chaim, it's even better. But to learn without Rab Chaim is also learning. And to learn Tanakh is also learning. So that's how the Chazal read the Pasuk Ki, despite the fact... How does it say? When Moshe Rabbeinu is mispalo, ki yam kisheyorefu. I forgot already the pasuk. I forgot where the pasuk is. The Ibn Ezra learns ki am kshei erev, despite the fact that the Jewish people are am kshei erev. Hakadosh Baruch Hu shemashu shchinasa ki am, despite the fact ki. Every so often the word ki means the opposite from because, despite the fact that. So that's how the Torah Shebaal Peh has the additional level of interpretation in this pasuk. Yeah, the Chumash in this week's Sedra describes Pesach as being the Chodesh Ha'aviv, and Sukkot is Chag Ha'osif, the ingathering season. So the Rambam writes that our, in Hilchas Kiddush HaChodesh, the Rambam writes that our calendar was a hybrid, the months Achotshi Halavona, and the years Ashnos Achama. The years are solar years, because we want Pesach to be Chodesh Ha'aviv in the springtime. The lunar year, if you just have 12 months every year, 12 months, so the lunar year is 11 days shorter. It's 354 days, whereas the solar year is 365 days. So the solar year is 11 days longer than the lunar year. So if every year you just have 12 months, every year Pesach will be 11 days earlier, 11 days earlier, 11 days earlier. So it'll start coming out in the winter, then it'll start coming out in the autumn, then it's going to come out in the middle of the summer. Keep on shifting, keep on moving. So that's why you have to have Ibar Hashanah every couple of years. You have to make Hashanah Muvaris for 13 months so that Pesach will always be B'chodesh Ha'aviv and Sukkot will be Chag Ha'asif and so on. So the Rambam says that our calendar is a hybrid. The years have to be Shnos HaChama and the months have to be Chodshei HaLevona. How does the Rambam know the months have to be Chodshei HaLevona? So that he says, as the Pasuk says, you should bring the Musafim Midei Chodesh B'chodesho, how does it say? And Parshas Pinchas. Forgot the Loshon HaPasuk. Chodesh B'chodesho. So you see from that Pasuk that the months are Chodshei HaLevona. How do you see Midei Chodesh B'chodesho? Midei Shabbos B'Shabbato. Shabbos B'Shabbato means the weekly korban. So Chodesh B'chodesho means the monthly korban. How do you see from Chodesh B'chodesho? One way or the other. Whether it's a lunar month or a solar month. The Rambam says, you see from that pasuk that the months are lunar months. So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that the Rambam is relying on the Targum Onkelos. Targum Onkelos does not translate midei chodesh b'chodesho, the monthly korban. Midei Shabbos b'Shabbatah means the weekly. Every Shabbos you bring midei chodesh b'chodesho. The Targum Onkelos says b'ischada tusei b'chidush shel levana. You bring the Musafim on the day that you have Chidush HaLevana. So the Pasuk says that the months are lunar months. You bring the Korban Musafim, the Korban, the 11 Musafim that you bring every Rosh Chodesh, are brought on the day of Chidush HaLevana. So the Targum translates, that's what the Pasuk says, that the months have to be Chodshei HaLevana, but the years have to be Shnos HaChama, because we want Pesach to fall out and the springtime and Sukkot to fall out in the fall. How do we know that Moshe Rabbeinu told us the truth? Maybe he made up the whole religion. He comes and he tells us, Rabbeinu Shalom told him, the Aseres Adibas be heard. Okay, but the rest of the Taryag Mitzvahs Moshe Rabbeinu told us. Maybe he made up Baba Mises. So our tradition has it. Here, the Chumash describes when Moshe Rabbeinu heard a din from the Rabbeinu Shalom, he told over the din to Bnei Yisrael. V'chal Moshe midaberi tom. After Moshe Rabbeinu finished telling the dinim to Moshe, v'yitein panav masveh. Why? Because Koran or Pnei Moshe, his face was shining, and the people couldn't take it. But Kol's man, he was saying over the halachas, they could take it. The minute he finished saying the halachas, his shining face was blinding the people. Had to put on his face a mask. So this is part of our historical tradition. Also, Moshe Rabbeinu was a kvad peh, kvad loshen. He didn't speak well. And when he said over the dinim, it wasn't his voice. It was Shechina medaberes mitokrani. He had a booming voice. He didn't have a loudspeaker. He had a booming voice and all the people heard him. That's our historical tradition. So we know that it was Shechina medaberes mitokrani. He didn't have b'chira chavshis to say whatever he wants. He couldn't have made it up. He wouldn't have these nisim in his face was shining and so on. So that's why, that's how we know that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't make it up. Our historical tradition has it that this is what happened, the way it says in the Chumash. He had to put on the masre when he finished saying the din, and when he said over the halachas, it didn't bother the people. Yeah, the Medrash has a famous comment, Mehechen zocha Moshe lekarnei hoyt. Where did the karnei hoyt come from? Kikoran or Pnei Moshe. Michelangelo made a famous statue of Moshe Rabbeinu with horns. He thought that it says he had horns. Koran or Pnei, he thought that it does mean he had horns. The Jews don't have horns. It means his face was radiating and shining. So Mehechen zocha Moshe lekarnei hoyt. So the Medrash has an answer. There was ink that was left in the pen. When Moshe Rabbeinu was writing the Torah, so there was ink left in the pen. What does that mean? So some of the Mefarshim say that the opening pasuk in Vayikra has, on the word Vayikra, has a small aleph. When Bilam had the nevuah, it says, Vayikor Elokim al Bilam, Loshen Mikre. When Moshe Rabbeinu had a nevuah, it says Vayikra with an aleph at the end, Loshen Chiba, not the same as Bilam. So Moshe Rabbeinu was so humble, that's how they say Moshe Rabbeinu was so humble, he didn't want to write Vayikra. But the Rebbe Shalom told him to put an aleph, so he made a small aleph. What do you mean? Moshe Rabbeinu decided to make a small aleph. That's how they say. So there was the ocean, his tari bekulmas. He left a little ink. There was enough ink to write a big aleph, and he only wrote a small aleph with less ink. So that's why, because of his humility, that's why he was zecher to the karnei. You can't say that. The small aleph is the way it's supposed to be in the Sefer Torah. The letters that are supposed to be Oseas Gedoilos, letters are supposed to be Oseas Ktanos. That decision was not made by Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a shtickel apikursus to say like that. That's not right. What is made the ocean is tarbekulness. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say over, I think, from the Baal HaTanya, that there's a din of muk of gvil. When you write a Sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzah, every letter, you can't have the letters touching each other. Every letter has to be muk of gvil. Gimel vav yud lam. Gvil means empty parchment. Gvil is the, when you take the hide of it, you have to take hide of a kosher animal. You take the hide of the kosher animal and you convert it into parchment. So if you leave the whole thing intact as one thick piece of parchment, that's called gvil. And then the ister split it in half. So the outside half was called klaf. You write on klaf, and the inside half was called duchsustis. So in the days of the Gemara, they used to write tefillin and mezuzah, Sefer Torah, on three different things. And now we write everything on klaf. We don't write on three different things. But gvil means the whole Sefer Torah is supposed to be written on gvil, on the whole thick parchment. So mukha gvil is a din, Sefer Torah, tefillin and mezuzah. You can't have the letters touching each other. Every letter has to be surrounded with blank space. What is that? What's the idea behind the mukha gvil? So the Baal HaTanya, I'm so late, quoted from the Baal HaTanya, that is to indicate that every letter in the Torah has a ton of Torah Shebaal Peh surrounding it. There's loads and loads of Torah Shebaal Peh and every word in the Chumash. So when we say Mehechan Zocha Moshe Lekarni Ho Medyosh and Ishtar Bekulmas, what it means perhaps is, that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to say, every great genius, let's say Einstein or whoever, any great genius, even Chachmei Yom HaSolem, as many books as he writes and as many lectures as he gives, he can't give over the whole greatness that he has. Baharaya, that none of his students are going to be big geniuses like him. Like Rav Soloveitchik had a lot of students over the years. I don't think any of the students are as great as he was. He was above and beyond. He was much greater than all of them. Rav Moshe Feinstein, he had a lot of students also. None of them could compare to Rav Moshe Feinstein. A genius, he can transmit genius to the next generation. So the Yoshen Ishtar Bekulmas means as many books as Rav Moshe wrote, as many tshuvas as he wrote and published, as much as he wrote, there was always more that was within him that he couldn't transmit to other people. That's called the Yoshen Ishtar Bekulmas. He can't convey to others. A person who is really great cannot convey everything to the other people. He can speak all he wants and he can publish all he wants. He still can't convey everything. So that the koyach of the Torah Shebaal Peh that Moshe Rabbeinu had within him, that he wasn't able to transmit to the rest of Bnei Yisrael, that was shining. That was the Koran Or Panov. That was the shining face that he had. That was because of the greatness that he had that he couldn't convey to the other. That's what it means. Dioshin ishtar b'kulmas. Our minig is that we give the first two aliyahs are very long. The first aliyah, not so long. The second aliyah. The whole story of the ego is very long, and we give it to the Levi because the Shevet Levi was not involved in the Chet HaEgel, only the other Shvatim. So if someone else would get the aliyah of the Chet HaEgel, it'll be an embarrassment to the person. So that's why the aliyahs are out of proportion over here. The Levi gets his very long aliyah. I think the Magen Avraham writes that in his commentary on Shulchan Aruch. In Frankfurt, before the war, Rabbi Simson Raphael Hirsch was a rabbi. He made the breakaway community in Frankfurt. Breakaway, they disassociated themselves from the reform. That's what they call Austrid. They stepped out from the general Jewish community to separate themselves from the reform. They had their own cemetery. Everything was separate. So when he passed away, his son-in-law, was Reb Shlomo Breuer. So his son-in-law was a Hungarian, and he took over the Rabbonis. He came from Hungary and took over the Rabbonis in Frankfurt. And when he passed away, there was a big machloikas. He left the Tzavoya that he wanted one of his sons to take over the Rabbanus in Frankfurt. I was in the Svarim sale last week, so I think they're selling a book on Koheles or something by that son. So there was a big issue because that son wrote, I don't know if it's the book on Koheles or a book on Shershim, he wrote something in one of the Sefer Tanakh that didn't correspond to the Gemara's tradition, how to understand that Sefer. So a lot of Alabatim didn't think that it was right. They didn't want him to be the rabbi in Frankfurt. But so they didn't know what to do. So the father had left the Tzavar, Shlomo Breuer, the son-in-law of Rabbi Hirsch. He left the Tzavar. He wants that son to take over the Yerusha, to take over the Rabbanis. And some of the Balabatim didn't want, so there was a whole Asik. So the German rabbis were afraid to give a psak on the issue. That no one wanted to say anything against Rabbi Shlomo Breuer. So they wanted to get, they wanted to have a Din Torah. So they wanted to have some Galatiana Rabbanim. So when they started to tell him what the issue was, so they didn't want to get involved. So they got other rabbanim to agree to make a din Torah, but they didn't tell him what it was. And then when they told him what the issue was, they said they didn't want to get involved either. They didn't want to get involved. So they didn't know what to do. So that son that Reb Shlomo Breuer picked out, I think it's Raphael. So he said, let them put up another candidate and let the people vote. He's Moichel on his coven. Moichel on his coven. Doesn't have a regular election, Shoin. So that's what they were going to do. They were going to have an election. So one candidate was going to be the one that Reb Shlomo Breuer, the son that he wanted, and the other one was going to be some other rabbi, another German rabbi. So the election was supposed to take place on a Sunday morning. So that Friday night, there was a dayan in Frankfurt, dayan Posen, dayan Gershon Posen. I have a son-in-law Posen. He's a great-grandson of dayan Gershon Posen, a big gichus. A primoiz has chuvis and achiezer to dayan Posen from Frankfurt. So he was the dayan for Rabbi Hirsch, and he was a dayan for Reb Shlomo Breuer, and whoever would take over after Reb Shlomo Breuer, he would be the dayan. He was still alive. So he wrote an open letter to the Balabatim and made copies, and they put a copy on everyone's seats. When they came into shul on Friday night, everybody read this long letter that he says, I'm the dying here for the long for years and years, and they didn't ask me, and I'm the one who should pass on all the shah. I pass, and you're not allowed to have an election, and they have to let the rabbi's son, there's Mukhiv, to follow the tzavua of Reb Shlomo Breuer, and they have to let him become the rabbi. So the people didn't know what to do. So Mitzvah Shabbos, they read about this Friday night, that they couldn't make any phone calls. On Mitzvah Shabbos, they called up the other candidate who was running against the Reb Shlomo Breuer's son. They told him that the dayan wrote a letter. No one's allowed to vote against the rabbi's son. So the other candidate withdrew his candidacy, if the dayan said they're not allowed to. So what are they going to do? So he torpedoed the whole election that they were supposed to have. So they were pilpiling and pilpiling. So they said they're going to have an election. It didn't take place on that Sunday, I think. They're going to have an election. They're going to vote. You'll have a choice either to vote for Rabbi Breuer's son or blank ballot. No candidate running against. And then it turned out that there were more blank ballots than there were ballots for the son. So he was not the rabbi. So he's not. So then they had to take another rabbi. So they took a Hungarian rabbi. So the Yekis felt that it was some of them felt such an insult that the Yekis had to take an Ungarish rabbi. So I was friendly with one of the Talmidim of that Hungarian rabbi who came. I forgot his name already. So that rabbi was a Levi. And usually the rabbi gets Aseres Adibros, but Aseres Adibros is not in Levi. So this old man, he died a long time ago. This old man who was a Talmud, he was a teenager learning by that Hungarian rabbi in Hungary. So when the rabbi came to Frankfurt, he taught in the yeshiva also. So a group of Talmidim came from Hungary to continue learning by their rabbi. So on Shabbos, Parshas Vayeschanan, they arranged the Kriya Satar in such a way that the rabbi should get, I forgot if any was Chanan, which Aliyah gets Aseres Adibros, Revi, I don't know, I forgot if any. So they changed the Aliyahs in such a way, like in today's Sedra, that the rabbi was a Levi and he got the left Aseres Adibros, and then they squeezed in a whole bunch of additional Aliyahs after Aseres Adibros, just like you do here. Sometimes we rearrange the Aliyahs and the Parsha. The Gemara has a comment in the first parak in Maseches Avodah Zarah. It doesn't make sense, but Derech HaTeva, the Jewish people just witnessed Esam Makas, Kriyas Yamsuf, Maimon HaSinai, all of this, and then they go and they worship Avodah Zarah. Absolutely doesn't make any sense, but Derech HaTeva. So the Gemara makes a statement, Lo Yisrael Sheba'osa Dorim Lo'osa Ma'isa, but Derech HaTeva, if they would exercise the Bechira Chavshis, it wouldn't make sense that they should worship Avodah Zarah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu suspended their Bechira Chavshis and he caused them to sin with the most serious aver of all Avodah Zarah in order to teach the lesson of Tshuva L'Rabim, that even if the whole community, even if all the Shvatim except for Jehu, they all worship Avodah Zarah, the most serious avera, it's still possible to do Tshuva. Then the Gemara has a comment, David HaMelech also sinned with Bathsheba Lahoy, David Roy Lois HaMaisa, with Min HaShemayim, they suspended his Bechir Rechavshis and they caused him to sin. Lahoris Tshuva LeYochid, to teach that any Yochid can always do Tshuva. And the Gemara has a Hemshech of this idea, Vayav HaShem Alpana Vayikro, Malamish and Nisata, Omer Rabbi Yechana, Malamish and Nisata, this is a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah. Vayav HaShem Alpana, Vayav HaShem sounds like Oiva Lefnei HaTeva. Like the Chazan, the Shlech Tziba, Evil of Ne'ateva. So the Gemara says, Vayav Hashem Pana Veikam Malam, Shenisata Vakadosh Baruch Hu, Kishliach Tzibur. Moshe Rabbeinu had a Nevuah. The Rebbeinu Shalom doesn't have a body, you can't put on a talis. Moshe Rabbeinu had a Nevuah. He visualizes as if Hakadosh Baruch Hu put on a talis, and he's going in front of the Omud. Vayav Hashem Pana Malam, Shenisata Vakadosh Baruch Hu, Kishliach Tzibur. And he said, Kol Zman Shebane Choytim, let the Jewish people, when they want to do tshuva for an aveira, let them gather together and recite Hashem Hashem Kel Rachma Chanam. So the whole Chet HaEgel was rigged by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to teach a lesson of tshuva. So the Baruch Shalom recited the Yud Gimel Minas to teach them. That's how they do tshuva. Recite the Yud Gimel Minas, Vani Moichal Lahem. It's all different understanding of what the Chet HaEgel was all about. It's hard to understand, but the Pesukim say that they gave people a death penalty for worshipping Avodah Zarah. So if the Chacham had a tradition that the Bechir Chavshis was suspended, so why are they punished for worshipping Avodah Zarah? And why beyond Pokti Pokarati throughout all the generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish the Jewish people? There are a lot of kashas, the Marsha and the Mefarshim have a lot of kashas, but we have to understand somehow. The Gemara has such a tradition. Moshe Rabbeinu is negotiating. He prays for the Jewish people. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hareini Nos Kvedecho, Odieini Nos Derachecho. He doesn't understand Darchei Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lo Yirani Ho'odam Achai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will pass in front of you, V'risa Sachoirai, Ufanai la yiro. These are difficult psukim. We don't know what this means. So the Gemara has one interpretation. Verisa sachayrai means HaKadosh Baruch Hu was wearing tefillin and he showed Moshe Rabbeinu the kesher shel tefillin. That's one interpretation. So on different occasions we speak about that. Why did he have to? Rabbi Elbele Soloveitchik has a whole beer. Every time the Gemara has that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the levana, showed Moshe Rabbeinu the matbeo shalesh, he showed him the menorah. Apparently there's a din of what it has to look like. Otherwise he could have told him. It's a din in what it's supposed to look like. So here also the kesher shel tefillin is supposed to look like this. The Rabbi Elbele has a chiddush in the Rambam that it's not really a dalet. It's a kesher b'tzuras dalet. That answers a lot of kasha, but that's a difficult pasuk. So some of the gedolim interpreted an additional interpretation in the pasuk. We don't understand. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. I don't understand how come we have tzaddik v'ra'lo, rasha v'tovlo, all the neviim and all the generations raised this question. All the philosophers who believed in God asked these questions. How come v'adua derech hashoyim tzolecha? If there's only one God in control of the whole world and he's a good God, so how come there's a contradiction between the moral, ethical, and the religious law and the natural law? How come you have tzaddik who suffer and you have rishayim who prosper? If you say that there's more than one God, there's a God of good, a God of evil, more than one God, or you say God doesn't know what's happening, he created the world and he walked away, there's no yediyah, okay? Or if you say God doesn't care, no, but we believe there's only one God and he's still in control of everything and he knows what's happening and he does care. So how does we have Akasha, how does he allow 6 million Jews to lose their lives, to be tortured to death? How do they allow such things? We have Akasha. So the Gemara says, Kal ma'adavir rachmona letavavir. A lot of times we don't understand it. So that's what some of Horsham interpret. Verisa sachayra, after all of history will be unfolded and unraveled, and we'll be able to look back in retrospect, everything will make sense, and we'll understand that everything was really the Toivah. What we thought was really a tzaddik v'ra'lo was not tzaddik v'ra'lo, it was tzaddik v'tovlo. Ufana la'iro, but in advance, I can't explain to you why it's the Toivah. In retrospect, after all of history will be unfolded, we'll be able to understand how everything was really the Toivah. The Gemara says, Ba'olam, the Gemara Psochem says, Ba'olam azeh, we sometimes recite the Baruch Baruch Dayno Emes, when a tragedy occurs, and we sometimes recite the Baruch Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv when we hear wonderful news. Because even though we believe, and the Gemara says, when you say, the Mishnah says in Brachas, Kishem Shem Mevorcham Ala Toiva, Kach Mevorcham Ala Roa. The same way you recite the Bracha when you hear wonderful news, so too you recite the Bracha when you hear about the tragedy. The Gemara asks, Kishem, it's a different Bracha. Just like you say Bracha on chocolate, chocolate milk, so to you say a bracha when you walk out of the bathroom. What does one got to do with the other? They're two different bracha. Has nothing to do with each other. This is a bracha Taiva Meitiv, this is a bracha dynamic. The Gemara says, Kishem, the text of the bracha has to correspond to our perception. So if our perception is that it's a tragedy, you say dynamis. If our perception is that it's a wonderful good news, then you say a Taiva Meitiv. But Kishem, Shemavacham ala Taiva means, just like when you say Hatayva Meitiv, you say b'simcha, so too you're supposed to say the bracha, Dino Em is b'simcha. How can you say b'simcha? So the Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaba quotes Rabbi Yoina on brachas on that Gemara, that we're supposed to believe, Kol Ma'adavir Rachmana L'Tavavit, everything is L'Tayva. The text of the bracha should correspond to our perception that it's a tragedy. So we say Baruch Dino Em is, but we should have a munah, and we cite the bracha b'simcha, we should believe that it's really l'toivo. So the Gemara has in Psochem a statement, Bo'elam azeh, sometimes we say dynamis, sometimes we say hatev ha-meitev. Lo'elam abo, we'll only say hatev ha-meitev. The perception will be, in other words, after all of history unfolds itself, that'll be v'risa sachayrai. Looking back in retrospect, everything will make sense. We'll be able to look back and to understand that everything is really l'toivo. That is a famous medrash. And Bereshis, every day Bereshis, Vayar Lakim Kitov, Vayar Lakim Kitov. Then at the end of the Sheshis, May Bereshis, Vayar Lakim Meskala Sharasa, Vihine Tov Miyot. Says after everything was all Vihine Tov Miyot. So the Medrash says, Tov Zahachaim Tov Miyot Zahamavis. What do you mean Tov Miyot Zahamavis? When a person dies, that's a tragedy. Why call that Tov Miyot? So that's what the Mefarshim say, Vayar Lakim Meskala Sharasa. When you look at everything, within context. After everything is presented, then you'll understand that even Mavis is also Tov Miyod. Everything is told. Kol Madav Rachmona Letov. Everything is Letov. We don't see the whole picture. So our perception is that sometimes Letov, sometimes Lerua. But Lo Elam Abo, everything, the perception will be that everything is Letov. Today's Sedra, we have the statement when we commentary to Eretz, we should be careful not to fall in with Avodah Zarah. The Zionomos who lived in Eretz Yisrael were big of the Avodah Zarah, real serious of the Avodah Zarah. And it says, Lasilchas Lahem Bris, we shouldn't make increases bris with those nations. And that's the Rishonim say that that's one of the dinim in the Torah. So this is Taka, a big Shaila. How did the Israeli government join the United Nations? When you join the United Nations, it means it's a non-aggression pact. You're making a bris with all the other members of the United Nations. Some of the members of the United Nations are officially Catholic countries. Spain is officially a Catholic country. The United States is not officially Shalav Adizor. Most of the people in America are Christians, but the government is not officially Christian. But there are some countries in the United Nations that are officially of the Adizor. So how can the United Nations... How can the Jewish people join the United Nations? So there's one opinion in Tosfos and Yevamos, I think, 2 days in the one opinion. This one goes on the Zionomos and Eretz Yisrael. But the other opinion is, no, it goes on any nation that's officially of the Avodah Zarah. So I remember when we were learning that Tosfos, Rav Soloveitchik said, it's a good thing they didn't consult the Mizrahi. He used to be the official president, honorary president of the Mizrahi. So he says, it's a serious shame. And today said that there's another pasuk. We should be careful when we come to Eretz Yisrael. We shouldn't get involved in the Avodah Zarah. The Karlochal ve'achalta mizivchay. They'll invite us to eat, and we'll eat their shechita, and we'll intermarry with them, and that'll be a disaster. That'll be terrible. So the Mishnah in the first parak in Chulin says that shechita sakum is nevela. That the goy shechta beima, you're not allowed to eat it umetame can nevela. It's metame also. So there's a machlekes Tosfos and the Rambam. The Gemara never says how did the Tanaim know that shechita sakum nevela. So the Rambam claims it's based on this pasuk. Just like if a goy shecht, if someone shechts l'avodah zarah, becomes the group, it becomes also b'achila, also b'anoa. So here the pasuk says v'kol lachov yechalta mizivcha. This is the mocker that shechita sakum nevela. Even though if the goy would be shechting the shema of the zarah consciously, then it would not only be asabachil, it would be asabano. Every goy oibed abed zarah is subconsciously probably thinking about the shema of the zarah. That's why it's asabachil. It's a question according to the Rambam. The Rambam says, Rambam adzav, get a godel gidru bedover zeh, and the rabbis made a siog, a getter. Even if the goy is a ger toshav is bekabel on himself not to worship Avodah Zarah, also shechitos and nevela. So the shachan yeridei, I think Siman Beis, one of the early simanim, is not. There's a whole discussion. Ger gadol gidra b'davar, that sounds like it's gzeirah derabbanan. So it sounds like ben Torah it really is mutter. Just the rabbis made a harchoka derabbanan, but maybe not. Rav Soloveitchik said his grandfather Rav Chaim said. He showed that there's an Ovis de Rav Nosson on the opening Mishnah in Pirkei Ovis that says, Anshek Nes Agdala Hei Mama Shlosh Advarm Asei Siog La Torah. So the Ovis de Rav Nosson is like a Tosefta. It goes in the order of the Mishnahs in Pirkei Ovis and it adds on more. So on the opening Mishnah, Asei Siog La Torah, so the Ovis de Rav Nosson says, Eze Siog Shasa Sotara Lidbarah. What's an example of the Siogim that the Torah made? So the Torah says you're not allowed to be boal ha'ervo, not allowed to be boal anida, eishes ish. Then it says lasikervo legalaserva. You're not allowed to dance with anida. You're not allowed to kiss anida. Because one thing may lead to the other. You may be boal anida. So it sounds in the loshon abraisa that eishes yok shosa torah debarosa. There's machlek. There's the Rambam and the Ramban. But the kira boser is an isa deraisa and isa derabana. Rama holds that Kira Basar is an Isa Deraisa. La Sikrabu la Gavla Serva. To kiss an Eishas Ish. Someone else's wife. To hug someone else. To dance with someone else's wife. According to the Rambam, that's an Issa Deraisa. According to the Rambam, it's only an Issa Derabbanan. So the Mechaber writes, Yoloike. Mechaber means to say that it's an Issa Deraisa. We don't give any Malkas Bezman. What does he write like? It means you should know that it's an Issa Deraisa, like the Rambam, not like the Rambam. So here, the Medrash gives that the Abbas Deram Nassim gives that as an example. Gives another example. The Nazir, we don't want the Nazir to drink wine. What's so bad if he eats grapes? He's going to get drunk from eating grapes. He can eat grapes from today till tomorrow. He's not going to get drunk. So that's a siog. Is a siog shasatola devareho that he shouldn't come lidekach to drink wine. So we don't even allow him to drink grape juice. We don't allow him to eat the grapes. That's a siog. So Rab Chaim thought that maybe when the Rambam writes the ger agodol gidre b'dover zed that even a ger toshav also shchitos amaveila. Maybe it doesn't mean that it's a siog derabbanan. Maybe it's a gerah deraisa. Sometimes you have as a siog shasa torah devareho. Maybe that's what the Rambam meant. He thought that it was a deraisa. Anyway, that's the Rambam shita. That's the Rambam shita. The shchita sakam nevela is because subconsciously he's thinking about avodah zarah. If he's consciously thinking the shem tikruvis, it'll be asabah. No, subconsciously it's only asabah chila. And the Tosfos and the Rosh have a totally different shita. That's not why. It says, V'zabachta kashet v'isicho. So Tosfos makes up their own drosha. The Gemara never tells you. How do you know that shchita sakam nevela? So Tosfos says, in order to be roi teshecht, you have to be a bar zvicha. A goy is permitted to eat nevela. A goy is not mekabel tumah, even if he touches. If you pick up a package of meat in the A&P, if it's meat, if it's chicken, if it's chicken, so nivlas if tohar metame abes hamli is only metame if he swallow it. If it's nivlas nevela of a behema, then it's metame b'mago b'masa. It's a package. It's packaged, so there's no maga. But if you pick it up, that's masa. So that's metame. A goy is not mekabel tumah. So the whole issue of whether it's a nevela or not is irrelevant to the goy. Goy is not mekabel tumah, and the goy is not prohibited from eating nevela. So since the Nochri is not a bar zvicha, the whole issue of shchita is irrelevant to him, so he's not roi to shecht. Anu adrosha, you have to be a bar zvicha. That's Tosfos in the Rosh. And the Rambam has a different shita. It's because of the Avodah Zarah. B'kor l'cha v'chalta mizivcha, the Pasuk in today's Sedra. The Rambam has an interesting din. There's a machlokes in the Gemara. What if a goy asks me to shecht his behema for him? I shecht it. And the goy says he wants to shecht it l'shem avodah zarah, but he's not. He wants me. He wants to give it as tikruvis to avodah zarah. But I'm Jewish. I don't believe in the avodah zarah, so I'm shechting his behema, and I'm doing a proper shechita. But the goy is thinking l'shem avodah zarah. So that's the Gemara has in Chulin a discussion. There's a machlekes hatarayim where the baila mefaglim. When the Kohen does an avodah to a korban in the Beis HaMikdash, what if the bala korban has in mind to eat the korban chutz l'zman or chutz l'mekayma? Whether the balam also mefaglim, we pass them balam are not mefaglim. According to one tana, not only can the Kohen ha'oivi, the one who's doing the shechita kabbalah ha'loch ha'zvika, not only can he make it pigul, the balam on whose behalf the korban is offered can also be mefaglim. So then the Gemara says, if you're all balam mefaglim, then there's room to carry that over to chulin also. That if the bala korban is a goy and he's intending to be makrif some of the animal parts to avodah zarah, so the whole behemoth becomes asabana. So we don't paskin like that. We don't paskin like that. So the Rambam writes, since the din is that balam are not mefaglim, therefore if a goy asks the Jew to shecht for him, the shechita is kosher. So you see from the Rambam that if the din would have been Bailam Afaglim, the machshava of the Bailam can carry over even though he's not shechting. So if a Jew would shecht, a Jewish shechet would shecht the behema that belongs to a goy, since the goy is not consciously thinking the Shema, but subconsciously, so that would also be a din of Bailam Afaglim. It would have been also Bachila. Would have been also Bachila. It's a chiddush. Because the Rambam holds that the Isser to eat the Shechita Sakam is because of Avodah Zarah. Because subconsciously, the Avdi Avodah Zarah are always thinking about Avodah Zarah. The Rambam has a unique sheet over here. The mitzvah of Aliyah, the regal, is repeated in Parshas Kisisa, and then the Torah promises, if all the Jewish men The men have to go to regla. The men are going to go to Yerushalayim, so they're going to leave the country insecure. The enemies can come in and take over the whole country. When they attacked on the Yom Kippur War, so the Goyim knew that the Jews observe Yom Kippur. Even the secular Jews observe Yom Kippur. What they didn't realize is the mazel was that even though the secular Jews drive to the beach on Shabbos and on Yom Kippur, but on Yom Kippur they don't. So when the war began, the highways were clear. So the Israeli tanks were able to fight back in the Yom Kippur War. That was the mazel. But the Goyim know what's going on. So the Goyim are going to find out. All the Jewish men go to Yerushalayim and Shol Shudam. So the whole country is not protected. HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises, V'layach menesh yisar tzcha ba'alo yischa le'ra'os. That's called Shluchim Mitzvah Einen Nizakim. If you leave your farm, you leave the wives home, and maybe not even leave the wives home, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect you. V'layach menesh yisar tzcha, that's the mocker for the idea. It's in the first parak in Pesachim. The Shluchim Mitzvah Einen Nizakim. Unless it's Shchiach Hezeka, if it's a Miut HaMotzei, then you don't say Shluchim Mitzvah Einen Nizakim. But if it's less than a Miut HaMotzei, then the Torah promises that Shluchim Mitzvah Einen Nizakim. You don't have to be concerned. The Gemara also learns out from that Pasuk. When you be Layach Menish Yisartzcha Ba'alo Yischa Le'ra'os, only Mishiyesh Lekarka Be'eretz Yisrael is Mechiv to be Ola Regal. Mishayin Lekarka, if a Jew doesn't own a piece of real estate in Eretz, so it's not mechiyav to be oil regum. Because the pasuk says, the goyim will not, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will protect our country, the goyim will not take away Eretz, so the chiyav ali oil regum only applies, that's how the Gemara learns that, to those who have chelik in Eretz Yisrael. There's a Tosfos in the beginning of Psochem, that's in Psochem daf chesam and beis, mishen lakarka potem ilalas leregum. Then there's a Tosfos earlier, on Gimel Amid Beis, I think, but Tosfos Mishen Lakarka is Pata from Korban Pesach. So on the side of the Tosfos, they have printed sideways. Look in the Mishnah Melech that every line in Tosfos here doesn't make any sense at all. So there is no such thing. Gemara says Mishen Lakarka is Pata Milalas Laregle, Pata from Ali Laregle. Doesn't say you Pata from Korban Pesach. What's the mucker for that? So that's what we once said over. The one who wrote the Sefer, Eim Abanim Smecha, he was a Hungarian rabbi. He was a rabbi in Hungary, but he didn't have the Hungarian style of learning. He had like the Lithuanian style of learning. It's very nice Shabbos and Tshuva. It's very normal, down to earth. It's not the way the Hungarians learn. So he has a comment on that Tosfos. He says maybe Tosfos meant that Mishen Lekarka is Pata from Korban Pesach because it's a Chayvus HaTzibur, it's not a Chayvus HaYochid. The Gemara calls Korban Pesach a Korban Tzibur, even though it's not paid for by Machzor Shekel money. It's paid for by private people. By the it should be a korban yochid, but in a certain sense, it's a korban tzibur. So the ikat tziruf of the tzibur only applies to those who live in Eretz Yisrael. We spoke a few times. There are certain mitzvahs in the Chumash that only apply in Eretz Yisrael, even though they're not agricultural mitzvahs. Not trumas and ma'aser shmita v'yevah leket shikcha peyah. You can only confer smicha in Eretz Yisrael. You can only make kiddush achodesh in Eretz Yisrael. Egla Rufa only applies, Kimatze Chola Ba'adoma only in Eretz Yisrael. A couple of additional dinim only apply in Eretz Yisrael. Parhel and Davashal Tzibah depends on Roiv Tzibah in Eretz Yisrael. A couple of dinim that depend on the Tzibah, so the Ramam explains, only the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael have the status of the Tzibah. So that's the suggestion that the author of he has, I think his Tshuvas are called Pula Sochir, his name was Yisochir. So he called this, I think, Pula Socher. So in his Chelik Arachaim, he makes this suggestion. Maybe that's the Pshat and the Tosfos, that Yepotah from, Tosfos thinks that Yepotah from Korban Pesach, because it's a Chayvus HaTzibur, basically. The Mefarshim point out that when they did the Chet HaEgel, the women were not interested in participating. When they did the Chet HaMeraglim, also the women were not participating. And the Gemara said, "B'schus Noshim Tzidkonis Nigal Abaseinim in Mitzrayim." The Jewish men were always open to changes. The Medrash says that by the time of Kriyas Yamsu, the Yam didn't want to split. Why should I drown the Mitzrayim and save the Jewish people? Alola abdi Avodah Zarah, alola abdi Avodah Zarah. They were worshipping Avodah Zarah. So Rabban Shalom said, no, it's not their fault. But the men were prepared to assimilate, and it's only B'schus Nashim Tzidkanias, Nigal Abbasenim in Mitzrayim. And the Menai Slavchad had a chiba for Eretzot. The rest of the Jews didn't care to go to Eretzot, but the women did care to go. So the Midrashim pointed out, and the Mefarsh Marchumish pointed out, that if it would have been Miraglos, it would have not been men, it would have been women, it wouldn't have had such a terrible ending. The women had a chiba sa'ar, it's interesting. So Rav Soloveitchik once pointed out, there is a Gemara in Brochus. Gemara talks about HaKadosh Baruch originally created the Machaba with two Partsufim, they were one body, and then he separated them from each other. So the question was, when they were two Partsufim, when they were one body with two necks and two heads, so were they looking in the same direction or opposite directions? So that's a steer in the Zohar. And the Gemara seems to hold that they were looking in opposite directions, and when this one body with the two heads would walk forward, Adam Arishan, the male, would be facing forward, Chava would be facing backwards. The Gemara interprets the Pasuk, Ocha v'kedem tzartani. Where's that Pasuk? In Eov, I think. Ocha v'kedem tzartani, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created me facing forward and facing backwards. That's referring to Adam and Chava originally. Adam was facing Kedem, and Chava was facing Ocher, facing behind. Rav Soloveitchik made an interesting comment. He said that women are always looking to the past. Men are always looking forward, always interested in new excitement and a new adventure, and they're ready to change everything. They'll trade in the whole religion. So the men were prepared to worship the ego. Everything was different. And the women, that's the way Chava was created originally, facing backwards. The women remember, we have 9 children. My wife remembers every single baby, what they did wrong and what they did right. She remembers everything that happened at our wedding. I don't remember anything. She remembers who was there, who wasn't there, and every step of the way. Women are always looking in the back, behind, and men are always looking forward. So he said, that's why the women are more attached to tradition. That's why the women are not prepared to worship Avodah Zarah. That's why B'schus Nashim Tzidkanias, Nigal Abbasenim in Mitzrayim. The Gemara says in the Shabbos, the famous Agarata, that a woman had a child who was a wild kid. So she didn't know what to do. The kid was so wild. So the Chacham said she should put a yarmulke on him. Maybe this will instill a little Yerushamayim in him. So the kid wore a yarmulke. He was tame. Then one day the wind blew off the yarmulke and he went wild and he grabbed some fruit from someone else's tree. He stole the fruit from someone else. Kozmane had the yarmulke, he was under control, and when the yarmulke fell off, he wasn't. So how come we don't have the meaning that women should wear a yarmulke? So we usually assume that women have a natural inclination to have Yerushamayim, because the women are always, always looking to the past, and they're sticking to tradition more so than the men. Some of the women feel insulted if you say that. I don't know why. I'm so touchy about everything. Then when the Chet HaEgel occurred, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Lech Rei Ki Shiches Amcha. What do you mean Shiches Amcha? Well, what is Moshe Rabbeinu at fault over here? So Rashi quotes from the Medrash, Moshe Rabbeinu decided it would be Kvot Shamayim to take with him a whole Erev Rav. So he went around, he put in advertisements in the newspaper and in the radio. He said, who wants to come along? God is going to reveal himself. He's going to be a Maimon HaSinai. Who wants to come? So many, many Erev Rav Olayitam. A whole Erev Rav came. There was Moshe Rabbeinu knew there's an institution of Geiris. So he didn't think he has to consult the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam said, you should have consulted. It was a stupid idea. He did it on your own. You meant L'Shem Shamayim to have a Kvot Shamayim, to have a bigger crowd, not just to have Shishim Ribo men. It was a big mistake. All the trouble started from the Erev Rav. So a lot of times people think they're just following what it says in Shulchan Aruch, like when the Reform Movement began. So they decided the people don't understand Hebrew, so they're going to daven in German, so the people will understand better. So they'll know what they're talking about. And they had big Talmid Chachamim in that generation. That's a major change to davening. As I said, we don't have to ask a shayla. It's a din of the Gemara. The tzibur can daven in the vernacular. A yochid shouldn't daven in the vernacular. Because you need the malachim. When a yochid davens, you need the malachim to present the prayers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Malachi HaShoros are not makirim b'loshan Arami. So the Raibid learns loshan Arami. It does mean Aramaic. If the malachim understand all the other languages, so why can't they figure out Aramaic? Loshna Rami means they don't understand, means they think that it's a bizoyan, the daven in the vernacular, the common spoken language of the country. But the tzibur hein kel kabir lo yemos, hein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mois betfilos harabim. So the rabbin can daven in the vernacular. So they decided they don't have to ask the shayla. But they had big rabbanim then. They had Rabbi Geveger and they had other gedolei rabbanim. They were all unhappy why they switched the prayers to German. And they said it wasn't right. That was the mistake Moshe Rabbeinu also made. He decided on his own what's quote. He could have consulted with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ribbono Shel Olam says, Lech re kishichei samcha. Gemara has a comment on the pasuk, Vayichal Moshe. What does it mean? What is the verb, Vayichal? So the Gemara has one interpretation, Miloshe Machlo. He davened so much to Ribbono Shel Olam until he weakened him. Ad Shechleu. He repeated the tefillah so many times. Till he weakened the Ribbono Shel Olam, and the Ribbono Shel Olam had to give in to him. We are allowed to daven, to repeat. We say, we're permitted to repeat the same tefillah over and over and over again. We say three times a day, we say the Shemoneh Esrei. We add on whatever you want into the davening. You're permitted to ask a lot. We should use that tzchus ha-tefillah, to daven and to repeat the same bakosha many times. You stand a better chance of having your prayers answered if you repeat the prayer many times. Okay, everyone should have a good Shabbos.